Good afternoon. I apologize for being late, and I do want to welcome this year's Doug Hammarskjöld Fellows. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and we hope you enjoy your time at the UN. It's a great program, so welcome. I think as we mentioned earlier today, at 14:30 local time, 45 Fijian peacekeepers who had been detained were handed over to UN Disengagement Observer Force at position 80 in the Golan Heights. Subsequently, the peacekeepers crossed to the Bravo side at position 37B and are currently at Camp Fuar undergoing medical attention. We understand that they are in good conditions, and I will have a statement on this very shortly. On Syria, Staffan de Mistura, the special envoy for Syria, met today in Damascus with President Bashar al-Assad. He spoke to the press afterwards, saying they had had a long and useful meeting. He also met in recent days with the Syrian foreign minister and deputy foreign minister. Mr. de Mistura said that the figures received on Syria from a range of reliable sources are shocking, with more than 190,000 people dead, 3 million refugees, half of the population in need of help, and 9 million people displaced. He said that after the meeting in Damascus, he will be traveling throughout the region and come to New York to report to the Secretary General about the suggestions he has been getting both in and outside of Syria. And he emphasized that the United Nations will take even more seriously the priority of trying to reduce the violence and end the suffering of the Syrian people. Yesterday, the Secretary General had separate phone calls with both Afghan presidential candidates, Dr. Ashraf Ghani and Dr. Abdullah Abdullah. In his conversations, he stressed the need for both of them to abide by their public commitments and conclude the political agreement on a government of national unity. The Secretary General said that the audit, which is currently ongoing and is being supported by the United Nations, was robust, comprehensive, and consistent with international best practices. The Secretary General asked both of them to think of the future of Afghanistan and its people. He reassured them that the United Nations and the international community were united in their support of a peaceful transition in Afghanistan. The Secretary General also spoke to outgoing President Hamid Karzai. He told him that the UN would remain committed to a partnership with Afghanistan, and he also expressed hope that Mr. Karzai would continue to remain involved as an elder of the country. The also relate to Afghanistan, the Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, Jeffrey Feltman, is in Kabul today, where he met with both presidential candidates. Together with the Secretary General's Special Representative for Afghanistan, Jan Kubish, he discussed with the candidates the way forward and expressed the Secretary General's support for successful completion of the electoral process. He said the candidates have reaffirmed their commitments to get a political agreement on a national unity government. Mr. Feltman emphasized that it is important that the candidates follow through on their public commitments to accept the audit results, which should be announced in the next few days. He stressed that the UN intends to remain an active and supportive partner of Afghanistan through its political and security transitions and well beyond. Also on Afghanistan, the UN mission in that country, UNAMA, expressed its condolences to the families of the civilians who were killed and injured in airstrikes in the eastern province of Kunmar. The special representative, Kubish, urged authorities to make all efforts to ensure the protection of civilians for a prompt and transparent investigation into the incident. And I was just handed over the statement on the release of the peacekeepers. The Secretary General welcomes the release of the 45 United Nations Disengagement Observer Force peacekeepers who had been forcibly taken on August 28th of this year by armed elements from United Nations Position 27 and been detained. He appreciates the efforts of all concerned to secure their safe release. The Secretary General emphasizes to all parties the impartiality of the United Nations peacekeepers. UNDOF is on the ground to monitor the disengagement of forces agreement between Israel and Syria. The Secretary General demands that all parties respect UNDOF's mandate, freedom of movement, and the safety and security of its personnel. And that statement is now available online. Back here, the Secretary General spoke this morning at the high-level stock-taking event on the post-2015 development agenda, which the President of the General Assembly briefed you on yesterday. The Secretary General said at the Rio Plus 20 conference last year, member states made clear that they want to be in the driver's seat when planning a new development agenda. The Secretary General said that countries have been working constructively together to identify the most important challenges we need to tackle, and that the UN stands ready to continue to serve member states in the coming negotiations. He said we have an intense and important year ahead, and that we need to build on a framework that will sustain and finish what has been accomplished by the Millennium Development Goals in our fight against poverty, hunger, ignorance, and disease. Also speaking at the event is the Deputy Secretary General, Jan Eliasson. He said that we have a historical opportunity to correct our unsustainable development path. We must now show we are sensitive to the needs and aspirations of the nations and people of the United Nations. And both sets of remarks are available online. A lot of breaking news today. Yes. Okay, thank you. Back to our programming. The Under Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Hervé Latsous, is in Liberia to assess how UN peacekeepers can further support the fight against Ebola in Liberia. Mr. Latsous had a meeting with President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and other high-level officials. Tomorrow, he'll be traveling to Accra, Ghana, to visit a logistics hub which has been set up to respond to the regional Ebola crisis. And more information will be available later today on his visit. Also on Ebola, Valerie Amos said that the Humanitarian Affairs Department has allocated $3.8 million from the UN Central Emergency Response Fund to the fight against Ebola. The funding will allow World Food Programme, which runs the Humanitarian Air Service, to move humanitarian personnel, medical supplies and equipment, and other essential humanitarian cargo rapidly and efficiently to multiple remote locations within Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone. The Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says that reduced commercial travel in the region has hindered the urgent deployment of healthcare personnel and supplies and has severely affected the scale-up of the urgent life-saving response. On the ground, WHO says that hospitals in affected countries are urgently in need of additional beds to accommodate more patients. WHO and its partners have supported the construction of new Ebola treatment center in Monrovia that will be able to accommodate 120 patients. More such centers are expected to open in the coming weeks. Back here in the Security Council, the special representative in Haiti, Sandra Honoré, told council members this morning that after a period of deadlock concerning the holding of elections in the country, there seems to be renewed willingness to deal with the topic. But she said that given the time needed for logistic preparations, the window for holding the elections before the end of the year is now rapidly closing. She added it's particularly worrisome since without election, Parliament would be rendered dysfunctional on January 12th of next year. Regarding the drawdown, the UN mission in Haiti, Ms. Honoré said she is confident that the recommended reconfiguration would ensure adequate stabilization for presence to support Haitian institutions. She said the UN mission will continue to work with the government, the UN country team, and Haiti's international partner to develop a comprehensive transition plan that underpins the gradual reduction of the mission's footprint. And her full statement is available online. And from Libya, we are told that the special representative in that country, Bernardo León, is in Tripoli, where he met with key political actors, including members of parliament today. During his discussions, Mr. León called on all parties to address the current political situation through negotiations and reiterated the need for permanent ceasefire for those negotiations to bear fruit. Mr. León also traveled to Tobruk and Al Bayda earlier this week, where he held talks with the head of the House of Representatives and the chairman of the Constitutional Drafting Assembly. He stressed strong UN support for the House as sole legislative authority in the country and addressed the Assembly, praising its role as an example of dialogue and consensus. Mr. León is expected in New York in mid-September to brief the Security Council. And from Yemen, Jamal Ben Omar, the special advisor for Yemen, begins a new visit to Yemen today. Earlier today, he met with President Abed Rabo Mansour Hadi and discussed the latest developments. He expressed his deepest regret over the loss of life due to the unfolding events in the past few days. He urged all Yemenis to make genuine and credible efforts to settle their disagreements and to reach solutions that will serve the greater national interests, which should supersede all other interests. His visit to Yemen aims at continuing cooperation with President Hadi and all political parties in order to reach a peaceful solution based on a transition agreement, the outcome of the National Dialogue Conference, and Security Council resolutions. And just to flag that Valerie Amos, the emergency relief coordinator, is in Jordan, where she met government officials, including the prime and foreign ministers, to discuss humanitarian situation in the region. She also visited the Al Ramtha border crossing, where she saw a convoy of humanitarian assistance cross into southern Libya. I'm almost done, I promise. Two other UN officials wrapped up a visit today to Myanmar's Rakhine State, and that's John Ging, the Director of Operations for OCHA, as well as Hao Liangshu, the Regional Director for Asia and Pacific for UNDP. And they were there to assess efforts to increase cohesion and peaceful existence between communities. And flagging a new report by UNICEF on South Asia, which finds that though there's been huge progress, strong inequalities persist and children pay a heavy price. More than 2 million children in South Asia die before their fifth birthday, and these deaths are preventable. That report is online. And press conferences tomorrow, 10:30, Ambassador Yurgi Sergeyev, the permanent representative of Ukraine, will be here and to talk to you. That's it for me. Karaman.
Thank you, Stefan, very much. What is the Secretary General's reaction to President Obama's speech on Syria? And what does he think about the U.S. Or the coalition bombing the ISIS positions while the U.N. is, for example, delivering humanitarian aid or and other things? What does the Secretary General think about it? And has he talked to President Obama about it? Thank you.
Well, I think I gave you a readout of his conversation with President Obama a few days ago. You know, on Syria, I'm not going to prejudge actions that have not yet taken. It is clear from the Secretary General that the threat of ISIL needs to be faced. There, we welcome the growing international support. And also, I think, welcome the president's restated commitment to pursue the political solution necessary to solve Syria's crisis once and for all, in parallel to measures taken against ISIL. And I think in any measures taken, military actions taken, it is also very important that everyone remember, all actors remember, the need to protect civilians, to protect civilian lives, and also to enable us to continue our humanitarian work. Yes, ma'am.
And then my question goes in the same direction, because it's most probably at least that the Russians are not going to agree to the resolution that the Americans and the allies work in it. So does the Secretary General see it as if they are going to attack ISIS in Syria, does he see it as illegal?
Again, I'm not going to prejudge what has not yet happened. I think the Secretary's position has been stated, but I think we're talking about things that may happen or people have declared to happen. Let's wait and see. Edie?
Stefan, a couple of questions on the Fijians. Mm-hmm. The government said that they were sending several Fijian military representatives there. Were they at the handover? Have they seen them? And are the peacekeepers going to be returning back to Fiji anytime soon? And secondly, there's been a lot of comment in the region as a result of this questioning the viability of the UN peacekeeping operation, and I wonder if you could comment on whether this remains viable.
Sure. UNDOF continues to work and to support its mandate. Obviously, it has to adapt on a daily basis given the situation on the ground. I think Mr. Latsous gave a fairly clear explanation on that. Our mandate is clear, given by the Security Council. It will be discussed in the Security Council soon as the Secretary General's regular report on UNDOF will be sent to Council members. So I'm sure we will give Council members a chance to discuss the situation and the way forward as well. I'm not aware of the presence of any Fijian military officials that had been sent from Fiji at the handover, but I can check. My assumption is that the 45 would return home, and I would hope they would be swapped out by new troops from Fiji. I'm sure they've been through quite an ordeal and may want to go home. Brigida.
On the Fijians, you just said the Secretary General thanks the efforts of all concerned. All concerned, does that include the government of Syria?
It includes, you know, we're not going to go into the details of the negotiations. The focus for us was always the safe release of our 45 colleagues, and that was achieved, and we're very pleased. I think a lot of people played a role in supporting these discussions, and we're very pleased at the outcome.
And my other question is actually about Mr. Di Mastura and his meeting with President Assad. Did he take any conditions to him or any requests of him? And what was the reaction of what did President Assad ask back from Mr. Di Mastura, since it's the first time that he receives an envoy for quite a long time?
You know, I think Mr. Di Mastura spoke to the press afterwards. We can share that transcript with you. But what I would say is that Di Mastura has qualified his visit as a listening tour. So he's there to take stock. It's his first visit as in this capacity, and he's there to listen, and then we'll be listening to other regional interlocutors.
So what did he hear?
Well, I think
He shared,
I think, with the media what he wanted to share, and obviously he will continue his tour and report back to the Secretary General. Stefano, and then Richard. And then we'll...
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. No, I had to go back to what you said about the Secretary General not commenting on the part of Obama's speech where he's implied that probably there will be attacks on ISIL in Syria. I mean, you say, like, until something doesn't happen, we are not going to comment. But I have to ask, because the Secretary General always is for international law. I always stress the fact that it's important to respect international law. To know what the general thinks, what the Secretary General thinks about if this happened, probably can influence also decisions, or cannot influence decision at all.
I think, you know, leaders make the decisions they need to make. The Secretary General's obvious support for international law remains the same. We talk about that quite a lot here. You know, national leaders will make the decisions they have to make, and the Secretary General has his position. Richard.
I guess I'm following up, begging here, but did the two men, the Secretary General and the President of the United States, talk about what the speech would be about in their phone call the other day? And so you're saying he's not commenting on the aspect of attacks by the air
we're not,
Syria, even though it will maybe open up
a... We're not commenting on something that has not yet happen. I think the Secretary General has often stated the need to face to deal with ISIL and ISIS and the crimes that they've clearly committed. But it is also clear that we need to push and twice as hard on the political track. I think terror groups, like we've seen, haven't appeared out of the blue. They've also appeared in Syria and other places because there is no progress on the political track. Thank you. Yes, and then we'll come back front.
Thank you, Stefan. Today marks the 13th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on the United States. I was just curious as to why the United Nations hasn't held a moment of silence or any other commemoration as they have for others.
I believe that there was a moment of silence held in the General Assembly this morning.
There was?
Yes. Right.
The Secretary General, in his interview with us, published yesterday in Al Hayah, he was clear that there was no need for a Security Council resolution in order for the coalition to do what it has to do militarily in Syria or otherwise. Does that change now that the Syrian government spokespeople are saying that there has to be permission by them, a prior consent by the government of Syria? Does he still believe there is no need for a Security Council resolution?
I think the Secretary General told you what he believed, and I have really nothing to add. Edie?
Stefan, on Mr. Feltman's visit to Afghanistan, as I've been reading, Ashraf Ghani and Abdullah Abdullah have not been able to agree on a government of national unity. And I believe that you said that in their meeting with Mr. Feltman, they reaffirmed their commitment to get to a national unity government. I just wanted to double check that, and is this a, would this be a breakthrough for the United Nations?
I will double check the interpretation of what has been given to me. How's that for an answer? Evelyn.
Thanks, Steph. On just quickly on the 2-day 2015 development program, is someone going to sum up what's aside, if anything, so we don't have to listen to 192 speeches?
I don't know. You got to work for your money.
Yeah, but that one is painful. That one would be very painful.
That being said, I will ask the PGA's office if they can maybe do a sum-up press conference for you.
Yeah, and also, is there not a necessity for a Security Council resolution on bombing in Syria?
I think because we will let
the Syrian government invited them in.
I think we will let the Security Council decide that. Mr. Abadi?
Thank you, Stefan. Which specific day is Secretary General giving his press conference, 17 or 18 of September?
16th. I think I've been trapped a number of times on this, and I confirmed with a handwritten sign that it was on the 16th. Sangwon.
Back on the Fijians, so has the UN or whoever the interlocutors were in the negotiations, have they paid ransom in request?
No demands were made and no concessions were made. No ransom was paid.
And one thing on President Obama's speech, the speech has happened, although the actions have not yet happened, because the Secretary General welcomed the coalition efforts. Can you elaborate more on what his thoughts are last night's comments?
As I said, we welcome the reaffirmation of the commitment to find a political solution in Syria. And I think we also very much welcome the efforts that have been undertaken by Secretary Kerry in the recent days to work closely with Arab nations to help mobilize Sunni communities in Iraq and Syria to shape a response. Richard?
How does the Secretary General feel his appearance on The Daily Show last night went? It's been 6 years into his administration. Is this a more public outreach to show his personal side or to discuss UN issues? How did this all come about? What's the story?
I think it was a first for the Secretary General. I think he is his toughest critic. But I think it was a good first step in reaching new audiences in different ways, and we were pleased with it, and we hope Mr. Stewart was as well. Yes, sir.
My name is Femi Akonde from TVC News in Nigeria. I want to ask a question on the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Mm-hmm. You said the UN Undersecretary on Peacekeeping is currently in Liberia. But I don't know, can the UN negotiate with countries like the United States and other countries with more developed healthcare and medicine to make available the experimental drugs they have to thousands of people infected with this Ebola viral disease back in West Africa?
I think that it's a very good question. It's an issue that's been being discussed currently by the World Health Organization, because there are a lot of ethical issues having to do with experimental vaccines, which are exactly just that, experimental, haven't gone through the full testing, and are often limited in terms of numbers, in terms of access. And, you know, we don't think any sort of vaccine could be available on a massive scale probably until early next year. So that's a discussion that needs to be had, but it really is in parallel to the focus that needs to be had now, which is on supporting the efforts of the governments of Sierra Leone, of Nigeria, of Guinea, and others that have been impacted to ensure they have the means necessary to support their public health systems. Oleg.
Thank you, Stefan. I understand that yesterday there was a conversation, phone conversation between Ban Ki-moon and President Poroshenko. Is that true, and can you provide a readout?
Yes, it was a. It was whether or not there was a phone call between the Secretary General and President Poroshenko. Yes, there was. President Poroshenko updated the Secretary General on the situation in eastern Ukraine and in the country, and the Secretary General encouraged the President to continue on the path of dialogue with Russia in order to sustain the existing ceasefire. Yes, sir.
My name is Abdelaziz Hali from Tunisia, La Presse de Tunisie. My question is, Stefan, do you have an idea if the United Nations will send observers to supervise the elections in Tunisia, which will be done in the next days, and will end the 3 years of the transition and 3 years after transition? Thank you.
I'm happy to answer your question, even though you're wearing a New York Yankees cap in my briefing room, which is this is strictly not a Yankees zone. But it's a valid question. I will check to see if that is going on. Great. Thank you very much.
Are you really defending the Mets?
Yes.